So this morning, in the time that I have, I want to answer the question, how do I pray effectively? I would think most people pray, but does everyone get answers? Does everyone feel encouraged as a result of praying? Do they feel strengthened? Do they feel helped? The reality is, for many people, they have given up praying because they feel there's no point to it. And the purpose in introducing this subject is to try and help everyone be able to pray effectively. Pray prayers that get results. So our question is, how do I pray effectively? The famous preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he said this. He said, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. And as we begin this message this morning, we come to Jesus with the same question that his disciples came to him with in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, if you go there with me. The disciples came to Jesus and they asked him to teach them to do something, not to dance or clap or preach. Those things are important. But they came with this request. Luke chapter 11, and it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. A familiar prayer to many. Very often, I conduct funeral services near where I live. This week I conducted 2. Next week, the new week coming, I've got to conduct 2 more. When I go to visit the families, very often the family will say, when I walk in, they say, before you start, we're not religious here. I say, oh, I'm so grateful. Neither am I. I do believe in a relationship with God. Sometimes I wear my collar, and they look at me, and they're shocked. They think, you're not religious, but you've got a collar, you're a vicar. I think, yes, but I believe in relationship, not religion. I got out of religion when I got born again, and I got into a living relationship with the living God. Hallelujah. So the first thing I want you to see, and I've got 7 things. I don't mean to dwell long on any of them. And this is one of those subjects you can come back to again and again and again. But I got 7 things that, if you will follow, they really will help you to pray effectively. Number 1, pray from within a relationship with God. Pray from within a relationship with God. The Bible teaches that we must be born into the family of God. That's the only way in, through being born again. In John chapter 3, a religious leader by the name of Nicodemus came to Jesus secretly at night. And Jesus said this to him, he said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be surprised that I say to you, Jesus said, you must, Nicodemus, you must be born again. The reality is, every one of us was a sinner. I say was. Now we are a sinner saved by grace if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. David the psalmist said he was born in sin and shaken in iniquity. The Bible teaches that. The Bible teaches because Adam and Eve sinned. Every person born from Adam and Eve, right up to this moment in time, is born with a sinful nature. They're born alienated from God. They're born with a spirit that is dead towards God, and they need to be born again. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23 that all have sinned. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of the standard that God requires. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So the reality is every man, woman, boy and girl throughout the UK, throughout the world, needs a Savior. And thank God, God has provided a Savior in His own Son. Amen. And Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. He's the only Savior. Peter said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other name, because there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. Am I saying that Jesus is the only way? Well, let Jesus answer that question. Jesus, are you the only way to God? Yes. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. Jesus said it. Because He's the truth, I believe Him. In Acts 16, there was a prison warder who had Paul the Apostle and Silas in prison. And God intervened. Paul and Silas, at midnight, they sang praises to God. And there was an earthquake. And all the prison doors flew open. And all the prisoners were free to run. But nobody ran. That was a miracle, wasn't it? And the prison warden, realizing that this was God, that these men were men of God, and that's why they were praising and singing at that hour of midnight, despite their conditions. And he was so moved, he fell to his knees, and he said to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I throw out this same word to you this morning. My friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you say, Pastor Jim, what must I do to be saved? The answer is belief on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Friend, listening to this message by means of the internet, what must you do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Can I ask you, do you believe? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? The Bible says that the fool says in his heart, the fool says in her heart, there is no God. Why do people do that? Why do they say there's no God? Well, if there's no God, I'm not accountable to anybody. I can drink and smoke and be immoral and swear, and I can live like an animal, because there's no God, it doesn't matter. Fact, there is a God. And the Bible says that after death, it's appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. And the Bible says we should prepare to meet God. Believe me, there is a God. I would rather, and I say it reverently, I would rather spend my life believing there's a God, serving that God, loving that God, preaching that God, worshiping that God, and get to the end of it and find it was all a mistake. I would rather that than believe that there is no God, live my life my way, ruin it, waste it, and then in eternity meet the living God, where it's too late to do anything about it, to change anything. But I happen to believe the word of God. I'm not going to get to heaven and find that there is no God. He's real. And you can know him today. You can know his power. You say, how? Ask him to reveal himself to you. God says, look at creation. He says, look up, look at the heavens. The heavens are screaming at you. Somebody created us. I mean, this clock that Brian got me, it didn't just appear suddenly. Somebody put it together. Somebody put you together. Somebody put me together. Somebody put the world together. That somebody is Almighty God. In the beginning, God. God created the heavens, and God created the earth, and God created you, and you are accountable to God. One day, you will stand before him. I hope when you stand before him, you're his child. But you don't stand before him as his enemy. Don't do that. Don't be foolish. Don't do that. The Bible says, how can I be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get into a relationship with God. That's how you get into the family of God. Romans 10 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. My question to you is, have you believed? Have you called on the name of the Lord? The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called? And have you confessed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're a believer, have you told your workmates? Have you told them in the office? In the hospital? Have you told them? Have you told your family? The Bible says that it's important that you confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Moving on to the second thing that will help you to make your prayers effective. Pray with a clear conscience before God. Pray within, number one, pray within a relationship with God. Number two, pray with a clear conscience towards God. 1 John 3 and verse 21, the Bible says, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Question, have you been obedient to God? The things that God has shown you from his word, the things you've heard from this pulpit, the things you've read in God's word, have you been obedient? If you haven't, you're going to have difficulty in getting your prayers answered according to the word. So if your heart doesn't condemn you, if you can say yes to the best of my knowledge, the things that God has shown me in his word, I am doing, I am obeying, I am living by his word, then if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence towards God. Because we're obeying his commandments and we're doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. Free from all condemnation. Free from all known sin. Sin of commission, things we commit. And sins of omission, things we fail to commit. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our sins, our debts, our trespasses. It all means the same. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, if I regard, if I condone, if I hide, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It's very clear. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. How about Proverbs 28, verse 30? The Bible says, he or she who covers their sin will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes their sin will have mercy. How about 2 Chronicles 7:14? Many of you know this scripture. God appeared to Solomon just after the dedication of the temple. And God said this. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then he says, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land. Did you hear that? If my people, says God, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. Then God said, now my eyes will be opened, and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. 1 John 1 verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sin, what's the rest of it? If we confess our sin, He is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we are free from the condemnation of sin, it is then that we can pray with confidence. Not only do we pray from within a relationship, but we pray from within a loving, obedient relationship where there's nothing between God and us. Hebrews 4:16, you know it. Let us come out before God. Let us come boldly. We can only come boldly when our heart is right. We can only come boldly when we're living right. We can only come boldly when we are obeying the word of God. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How about James 5:16? The fervent, the effectual, fervent prayer of what kind of man? Of a righteous man. It avails much. It's powerful. It's dynamic. Hear it again. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman, avails much. Righteous man? Righteous woman? Yes, a man, a woman, living by the book. A man, a woman in right standing with God. I have lots of favorite scriptures. One in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. God says that the eyes, he said, his eyes, they run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Here's his, seeking to show himself wrong. On the behalf of those who? On the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. It's worth it, isn't it? God says, my eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. What am I looking for, God says? I'm looking for men and women, young and old, whose heart is completely mine, who are in right relationship with me, who love my word and obey my word and live by my word and obey my commandments. I'm looking for men and women, young and old, to bless and to move mightily on their behalf. Amen?
Amen.
It's worth living like that, isn't it?
Yes.
Number three, pray free from unforgiveness. I'm not going to dwell on this. I mentioned it last week. But it is so important. Pray free from unforgiveness. Mark 11:25, Jesus said, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Why? That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your sins. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Ephesians 4:32, the Apostle Paul says, we as believers, he says, we should be forgiving one another even as God in Christ forgave you. When you stand praying, forgive. You want your prayers to be effective? Forgive. Leave them with God. Leave that abuse. Leave those horrible, nasty words. Leave them with God. Many of you have heard my testimony. Growing up, after my father died, I was 12 when he died, I was left with an adoptive mother who had the tongue of the devil. Boy, her tongue was so sharp you could shave with it. When she spoke bitter, bitter, bitter words, and I didn't know then what the Bible says, that the tongue has the power of life and death. She said to me, you are nothing but a little B-A-S-T-A-R-D. In Ireland, that meant you were illegitimate because my real mother wasn't married when I was conceived. You are nothing but a little bee, and you'll never amount to anything. I lived with that for years. Something within me died when she said that. Have I forgiven her? Yes. Yes. I ran away from home when I was 17, from Ireland to England. Good job I did, otherwise I wouldn't be a pastor, would I? Did I forgive her? Yes. 1960, I went back. Ran away in 1957. I went back. First place I went to was the mum's house. She never mentioned my running away. I never mentioned my running away. When I met her with open arms and gave her a kiss on each cheek. There wasn't a word said about all of that. Yes, I forgave her. Years later, when I got a call from the hospital in Ireland to say that she was seriously ill, could I make it across? I flew there immediately, and I was by her bedside before she died. And I said, Mum, I love you, and I meant it. Of course I forgave her. But it was hard. Have I been hurt since? Yes. If you have several days, I could tell you. But with God's help, I've forgiven them all. I leave them with Him. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And you say, Pastor Jim, they'll get away with it. No, nobody gets away with anything. The Bible says, every idle word that a man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof. On the day of judgment. No one gets away. But you release yourself. People are bound up. The anger, the bitterness, the darkness, the frustration, having that suffer down, let it go in Jesus' name. Leave it at the cross. Leave it at the cross. And walk free. And let God deal with those people. Because He will. Number four. I like this little clock. It's not going too fast. Pray with faith in God. Amen. That's an important one, isn't it? Pray with faith in God. I get this from Luke chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, what's he talking about? He's talking about obstacles, things in your life that are hindering your progress. Jesus said, he will say to this mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea. And here's the important bit. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he said will be done. He will have whatever he says. Amen? You got it? You got obstacles in your life? Got things holding you back, holding you down? Jesus said, if you have faith, another scripture he says, even as a tiny grain of mustard seed, he said, if you have faith, you'll be able to say to this obstacle, be removed, get out of here, get out of my way. You believe in your heart that what you speak will come to pass. Jesus said, you will have whatever you say. Therefore I say to you, said Jesus, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive. And you will have them. Years ago, a minister called a meeting of a very large church, lots of people, because there had been no rain. And the farmers were getting worried. Their whole harvest would be disrupted on less rain came. And he called a prayer meeting and he said, such and such a night, we're all going to pray. Now the night came, the place was packed. And they're all ready for him to get up and say, right, we're going to pray about this, this, and this. He looked down at the congregation and he said, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for coming. But the meeting is already finished. They went white. They changed color. They said, did you hear that? He said, the meeting is finished. Why? We haven't even prayed yet. And so one elderly gentleman, it wasn't Arnold, one elderly gentleman stood up and said, excuse me, Vicar, he said, can you give us an explanation? You've dragged us here under false pretenses. He said, no, I haven't. He said, I asked you all to come, and I'm glad that you did. I asked you to come so that we could pray for rain. He said, I do not see one umbrella amongst the members of this congregation. So the meeting is cancelled. It's a true story. You understand? They were coming to pray for rain. What's the point in praying for rain if you don't expect to get wet? Looking at Ruth, my wife, she would have been there with the wellies and the Macintosh putting it down. You would have been prepared, an umbrella for you and one for me. Amen? So when we come to pray, let's pray expecting results in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You pray for someone to be healed. You expect them to be well. You expect them to be healed. You pray for a financial miracle. You expect God to move. You pray for a job. You expect to get a job. You pray for an opening somewhere. You expect God to open the way for you. You expect it, and you thank Him for it in advance. Pray in faith. God says without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he or she that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who casually seek Him. No, of those who diligently seek Him. Yeah. Seek Him with all your heart. Be sincere. Be real. James 5:15, the prayer of faith will save the sick. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise the sick person up. You say, Pastor Jim, well, how do I get more faith? Because there's a prayer in the Bible that says, increase our faith, Lord, increase our faith, said one of the disciples. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by what? Yeah. Watching television. Oh, no. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Amen. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, and faith leads by not hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You read the word, you meditate on the word, you memorize the word, you listen to the word as you're driving along, rather than get all frustrated with the traffic and the traffic lights not changing and all of that. Put on a CD with the word on there. Build up your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Number five. Pray within God's will. This is so important. Pray within God's will. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. You see, friend, prayer is not about getting our will done in heaven. Prayer is about getting God's will done on earth. Amen. That's so important. It's so important. Some people stand in prayer, they bawl and they scream and they perspire and they prance up and down, thinking that somehow God will say, okay, 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 right, you can have what you want, no problem, yes, yes. I am so thankful to God. He hasn't given me lots of things I asked for. But I'm so thankful to Him that I received the things He did give me that were a blessing. You know, the scripture in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they cried out to God and said, God, you better give us this or else. And the Bible says, so the Lord gave them their requests, but He sent leanness to their soul. I never want that. What about you? I don't want a lean soul. I want a fat soul, a flourishing soul. So we must pray within God's will. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have. Hear these words, please. This is the confidence that we have in Him. Listen, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We have the example of Jesus, Matthew 26. Before He went to the cross, He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Three times the Bible says he prayed the same thing. Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup of awful suffering pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Your will be done. You know something? God's will and God's word are one. They're totally synchronized. God told Joshua, Joshua 1:8, he said, Joshua, I want you to lead my people now. Moses, my servant, is dead. I want you to pick up the baton. I want you to lead my people on. He said, the book of the law, in our case, the Bible, the word of God, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to all that's written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. Psalm 1, verse 2, the blessed man, the blessed woman, is the man or woman whose delight is in the law, in the word of God, and in that word they delight day and night, and they meditate in it. You say, Pastor Jim, what about those times when we just don't know what God's will is? Then I want you to remember something in those times, because you will certainly have them. First of all, remember you're not alone. Here's a word for somebody this morning. You're not alone. What do I mean? I mean you've got someone interceding for you who always gets their prayers answered. His name is Jesus. Did you know that? The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, the Lord Jesus Christ, he ever liveth to make intercession for everyone who comes to God through him. Hallelujah! In those moments when you're so weak, when you're so discouraged, you're so down, you say, Pastor Jim, I just can't pray at the moment. Thank God there's somebody praying for you. Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, one of the disciples, he said, Satan desired you that he might have you and sift you, might separate you like wheat, but I pray for you that your faith would not fail. Isn't that good to know? Jesus is praying for you. Something else, remember, the Holy Spirit is praying for you. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our infirmities or our weaknesses. The Bible says there are times when we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself, himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts, who's that? That's God. He knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Always remember that. In your weakest, darkest, most difficult moment, you are not alone. Firstly, Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. But Jesus is praying for you, interceding for you. And the Holy Spirit is praying and interceding for you. Friends, in all our prayers, our desire must always be, Father, thy will be done. Amen. 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 Father, thy will be done. Well, we're nearly through. Number 6, you're doing well. If you've missed any, don't be afraid to come and see me afterwards, not gladly that you have. Number 6, number 7. Any you've missed. Number 6, pray with persistence. This is something people don't do. Pray with persistence. In Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to what? Not to faint. Not to give up. When Ruth is stronger, and thank God she's getting stronger all the time. For those who don't know, Ruth fractured her femur back at the end of August, had a couple of very painful months, but she's doing well. The crutches sometimes are left aside, their walking stick, the Zimmer frame, and she's just moving. And then she'll say, "Oh, Jim, I've forgotten my stick or forgotten my frame. Praise the Lord. She's doing well. Bless her." And when she's stronger and able to come up here, she'll share with you a lovely poem. It says, "I want to quit." And I'll tell you, she'll tell you the rest of it. She doesn't want to quit. That's what the poem says. It's a very interesting one. Pray with persistence. Men ought, and women ought, always to pray and not to give up. How about 1 Thessalonians 5:17? The Apostle Paul said, "Pray without ceasing." Don't stop. What's he mean? Does he mean you can't eat, you can't go to work, you can't sleep, you can't bathe, you can't shower because you've got to pray? And sorry, I just have to smell because I have to pray. Sorry, no, I can't have anything to eat, I have to pray. No, I can't go to church, I can't pray. No, of course he doesn't. What he means is this: prayer should become an integral part of our lives. Something we do as often as possible, wherever we are. Amen. Pray on the train. Pray on the tube. You can pray in your car. You don't close your eyes, please, if you're moving at the time. Pray anywhere. Pray anywhere. An attitude of prayer. Amen. Father says he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's there. You can talk to him. Anytime, day or night. Hallelujah. For Paul means prayer should be an integral part of our lives, so that in any situation and at any time, it's perfectly natural for us to pray. And James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to men liberally and upbraideth not, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with a wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he'll receive anything of the Lord." Psalm 55 in verse 17, David the psalmist said this: "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray. I will cry aloud and they'll hear my voice." Finally, number 7. Pray with thanksgiving. There's something else that people don't do. They come with this big shopping list and they forget to say, "Father, I thank you." And Father's waiting for our thanks. Philippians 4:6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication," earnest, deep, heartfelt prayer, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." What will happen? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, it will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I'm not a great Greek scholar or Hebrew scholar, but occasionally I will dip into it. And the Greek word translated anxious means this. I thought this was interesting. It means to be pulled in different directions. Our hopes pull us in one direction. Our fears pull us in the opposite direction. And the result is we're pulled apart. That's what anxiety does. The old English root word, from which we get our word worry, means to strangle. If you've ever worried, you know how it does strangle a person. In fact, worry has definite physical consequences. For example, worry causes headaches, neck pains, ulcers, even back pains. Worry affects our thinking, our digestion, and even our coordination. From the spiritual point of view, worry is what? Worry is wrong thinking. It's to do with the mind. And wrong feeling, that's to do with the heart. Worry is the greatest thief of joy. And it's not enough just to somehow tell ourselves to quit worrying, because that will never capture the thief. Worry is an inside job. And that's where God comes in. It takes more than good intentions to get the victory. The antidote to worry is what the Bible calls a secure mind. And the peace of God, says Paul, shall garrison, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you have the secure mind, the peace of God guards you, and the God of peace guides you. And with that kind of protection, why worry? Amen? I finish with the words of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. 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 Have you got it? Be anxious for nothing. Would you do me a favor? Would you look at the person to the left of you, the right of you, and behind you? And would you say, be anxious for nothing? Would you? Amen. Put in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Said Pastor Jim, with thanksgiving, what am I to be thankful for? Well, how about being thankful that you're being heard? That's what Jesus did. He's at the tomb of Lazarus. And this is what he says. He lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you. Isn't that a wonderful way to start a prayer? Rather than, oh God, I hope you've got a couple of hours because I've got a long list. Oh God, I want you to. And oh God, I want you to. And I want you to. And 15 minutes later, you're still saying, you're still shouting at him, oh God. How about starting off with, Father, I thank you that you're listening to me right now. I thank you, Father. I thank you that you're taking notice of what I'm saying. You already know my needs. You've said so in your word. You're my father. I'm your child. You already know what I need of. But you delight in hearing me voicing my needs as I see them. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, Father, I thank you. You've heard me. I know that you always hear me. How about that? Daniel, just one scripture, Daniel 6:10. Daniel knew that the king had said he shouldn't be praying and worshipping God. He went into his house and his windows, he opened them towards Jerusalem. And he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day. Notice, he prayed and he gave thanks before his God. It'll transform your prayer life if you can give thanks in that. Not just give me, give me, give me, give me. Oh, I'll tell you a funny story and I must finish because of time. When I was in Uganda as a missionary, please forgive me, friend, I'm being very loving and honest with you. But when my African friends saw the white skin, they thought American. Pastor Jimmy's American. And the Americans are very rich. They have lots of dollars. So I would go to the conferences. I looked after 100 churches. I would go out in the bush and out in the conferences. The pastors would come. They'd come very polite. They usually come rubbing the hands. Pastor Jimmy, welcome. I would say, how are you? They would say, I'm fine in the Lord. But the problem is, and I'm not being rude, but the problem always involved a lot of money. And Pastor Jimmy didn't have a lot of money. I gave what I could, but I couldn't meet all the needs. Only God could do that. So one day I thought, what am I going to do? Everybody's coming to me. Gimme, gimme, gimme. So I got up in the conference one day and the place is packed. They've come from everywhere. And I said, I greet you all in the name of Jesus. I'm so happy to be here. I said, but I want to make a very important announcement. My name is Pastor Jimmy, not Pastor Gimme. And they laughed as you're doing. Did it cure the problem? Yes, in the main it did. I was no longer Pastor Jimmy. I was Pastor Jimmy. We give thanks. We thank God. We include thanks, lots of it, in our prayers. I trust that the study will have helped you and those who listen. How do I pray effectively? Pray within a relationship with God. Pray with a clear conscience before God. Pray free from unforgiveness. Pray with faith in God. Pray within God's will. Pray with persistence. And pray with thanksgiving. May God bless his word to each one of your hearts.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We're going to pray together just briefly, and the service will be over, and I trust you will greet one another. And I trust you have